Today on Real Radio.
I want to walk you through these words because they mean so much. First of all, you can expect God to do supernatural things when you step out. I'm going to say it again. You can expect God to do supernatural things when you step out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, this is a fascinating look at how the assistant to Moses, Joshua, led the people of Israel into the Promised Land. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant literally had their feet wet in the water as they prepared to cross this mile-wide stretch of the Jordan River. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his valuable lesson in the art and skill of trusting our Maker. It's a look at verses 13 and 14 of Joshua chapter 3, and it's called Taking a Step of Faith.
He has saved you. But, he's also brought you here today. He's kept you healthy somewhat. There are some of you in here that are very sick. But God has given you life. You're here today. And we look to God, and we don't often think this way, but day by day, God wants to get us through this life and work a work in us. And so the people had gathered themselves in faith. They were trusting in the Lord. And the Bible says so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan. First thing I want you to realize is that the people had understanding and they had a motive. The people had prepared themselves, yes, but they also had an understanding. They believed in God. And that's what we ought to do as a church. We should always be believing in God. And I know that you and I fail from time to time. Do you know that? You and I fail. There's lapses of faith in our lives. Are you aware of that? Some of you, and they're still working on the lighting, some of you, I believe by faith, are sitting over here in this section that I can't see. But there are areas in our lives where we can't see. And you look around, and it's the Jordan River right in your life. How am I ever going to get through this thing? Well, they had understanding. They looked back over the past, and this generation knew what God had done for them. But let me encourage you, those of us who are sometimes weak in faith, we have doubts. Even in the midst of a godly, awesome work as this, don't think for a moment that the children of Israel crossing over were all a bunch of super saints, that they would by no means be able to relate to us. No, they were just like us. And in this camp, we'll see in subsequent studies, was a man by the name of Achan, who committed a great sin. They're not all super saints. I'm sure that in the group of 2.5 million, there were those saying, "We're going to drown. We're going to perish." There's always people like that around. I don't appreciate them, but they're always around. Let's go. They'll give you 5,000 reasons why you ought not to go. These people are moving in faith. They had understanding of God, and that's good. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, "These all," that is the believers, "continued in one accord." That word means co-spirited. They were in one spirit, one mind, in prayer and supplication. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, regarding the church, regarding who we are, says, "Now, on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were all there, co-spirited, in one accord and in one place." It's good that we're here today. But we need to be like-minded, and we need to be filled with faith. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, the Bible says, "So they continued daily, co-spirited," that is, in one accord, "in the temple, breaking bread from house to house." So they had home fellowships going on. "They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And the result was, listen to the result. The result was, "And the Lord added to the church daily those that should be saved." We need to be together. It's hard to get all of us together in one spot, but we need to be together in our attitude and in our mindset concerning the Lord and what He wants to do in our lives. When we're trusting God, there's no limit to what God can do in our lives if we just trust Him. "Well, Jack, that sounds great for the church, and we've seen things happen, and we're really blessed by that, but what about my home? The same is true for your home, if not more so. God wants to do great things in your life, in your home, in your business, with you, among you. Well, we're a family that has been alienated from God, and we're just checking out churches, and we're hoping God will speak to us today. God is saying to you today that you trust Him, believe in His Word, because He wants to do great things in your life. It's the way He works. Aren't you glad that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not a boring God? I love what the Bible says. He's the God of the living. God finds it boring to be among the dead. Maybe you've been to a church. I know I've been to a church or two where you swear you smell formaldehyde in the sanctuary. Or I tell you what's tough is when you're speaking at a dead church. You'll say something that's really awesome from the Word and it blesses your heart, and the people are just looking at their watch, rolling their eyes. Jesus died, you would announce to save all of us. And people go, oh, brother. Oh, that's pitiful. No, He's the God of the living. He's the God of those whom, through Him, He wants to be dynamic. I love this. When we're trusting in God, I believe, and don't tell me if you disagree, because I don't want to hear it. I believe that my Bible teaches me that when I'm trusting in Him and doing His will, that we together are invincible. I really believe it. Invincible. That we're going to be able to accomplish that which He's called us to do. Even how impossible it might look. They had their motive, the people did, and that was to cross the Jordan River. God said it, spoke to Joshua, let's cross it. The word here, to cross, is an interesting word. It means to allow yourself to travel. Oh, I love to travel, you might say. Well, good, allow God to take you wherever He wants. And your hand kind of goes down a little bit. What? The word means to cross over, to cross, to allow yourself to travel. The word also can be translated to willfully be brought to a place, to go without resistance, to allow yourself to accept the offer that's being made. God makes you an offer. Are you willing to say yes to Him just based upon who He is? God says, I want to do this in your life. I want to get you across this Jordan. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, Lord, I want to travel with You? Isn't that great? I'll go wherever You go, Lord. It kind of echoes the words that Ruth mentioned to Naomi. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you go, I'll go. That should be the Christian's discipleship response, you know? Lord, wherever you want to go, I'll go. Well, the Lord was going to go across the Jordan River. And you would have been a bozo, Hebrew. Bozo in Hebrew is fool. You would have been a fool not to go across with them. Can you imagine tapping your sandal on the shore? I'm not going. I'm just not going to go. You know, once that group crossed and those priests got out of the water, you were separated once and for all from the people. No going back. The Christian is either advancing or backsliding. Well, I'm just standing still. A Christian cannot stand still. We are created as a dynamic. In your life, in my life, in fact, this is so good. We ought to set a little meter. In my office, I have a barometer. And it's very accurate. And it shows all the changes that go on in the weather and all. And you can see, you can record each day. You can see what's happening with the air pressure. It's always moving. Something's going on. And in the Christian life, can you look at a barometer? Can you look at 1998 and say, this is what happened in my life? And then now look at this year of 99 and say, this is where my barometer spiritually is at now. And where do I want to be? What's my motive for the end of this year? Are we going to cross over together? Do we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? I want to be able to look back and say, man, the Lord has really worked a work in my life. And we all want to say that, I would venture to say. By the way, the opposite of the word crossover is found in verse 32:9. This is the opposite. God says, do not be like the horse or like a mule, which have no understanding, which you must harness with a bridle and a bit, else they will not come to you. God says, I don't want to put a bridle and a bit around you and drag you around. You come to me willfully. So it says in verse 14, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks at harvest time. This to me is absolutely spectacular. In verse 15, we see this action, this step of faith. And do you think that the 2.5 million people behind the priest, do you think they were sleeping at this moment? Do you think that they were like not into the situation? The priests begin to move. Everybody's looking. Remember, they're what, 3,000 feet out ahead of them, remember, from last week? They begin to move. Now, what if you're one of those priests? Okay, guys, let's get going. Let's move this ark. Let's go. And you're heading right to the water. You hear it going by. You see it. It's roaring. And what do you think they were thinking about? You know what they were thinking about. Oh, God, do something with this water. And as they got closer, as they moved closer and closer with that ark up on their shoulders, oh, Lord God, those guys were praying, man. Were they sweating? No, not technically. According to the Bible, they were not allowed to sweat. Did you know that? The priests of the Lord, the Bible commands, are not to sweat. If you're sweating in the ministry, then you should probably get out of it. If the church is a panic to you, then maybe you should let go of it. If you're trying to do everything and run it on your own, even though God's provided people, then you should step down and take a break. The priests of the Lord are not to sweat. I love that. Lord, you're the one. I remind them often about that. Lord, you're the one that said the priests are not to sweat. So I'm not going to sweat. So you need to do whatever you do in things like this, Lord. It's pretty fun to watch him work and watch him move. And I know you know that's true in your own life. Taking a step of faith, the priests, the representatives of God, are the ones out front setting the example, and that's the way it should be. They should be the ones who launch out in faith. Look at verse 16, which leads us to our second point. Verse 16, regarding taking a step of faith, is that we are to expect God to do supernatural things. Watch this. Then it says, verse 16, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. Now, this location, by the way, you might read some old commentaries like I might have, and it says that the location of Adam is unknown. But in recent years, they have found it. Now it's Tel, T-E-L-L, Tel, dash, Adamya. They have found, in the Tel Adamya, they have found the ancient city of Adam. This place, right off the Jordan River, near, as the Bible says, Zaratan. It's about 16, 17 miles north of this location where the children of Israel are at. Now watch this. This gets very exciting. It says here in verse 16 that the waters which come down from upstream stood still. I want to walk you through these words because they mean so much. First of all, you can expect God to do supernatural things when you step out. I'm going to say it again. Is everybody awake? You can expect God to do supernatural things when you step out. My kids asked me a while back, how come we don't see all these cool miracles in the book of Acts? It all depends on what you're doing in your life, to be honest with you. First of all, when God presents the word, you are to believe and trust in the word, not the miracles. But in many lands where the word is not, even to this day, made clear or made available, God will do miracles. And God does miracles here in the lives of many of you. Well, I want to see a blind man's eyes open. Well, then read what's happening in inland China right now. Documented miracles are taking place and have been for some near 20 years. Supernatural documented miracles. Our God is the God that performs supernatural work because he's the governor over nature. Expect God to do something supernatural in your life. Have that expectation. Don't settle for some sleepy or dead kind of existence in Christ. 15, 16 miles north, there's this city. The word stood here. The word stood in Hebrew means to abide in one central location. This is important, listen. To appoint or to be appointed, to be made to endure. So the water was made to endure. How? By the hand of God. It's awesome. The word here, rose up, or rose, is the Hebrew word to mean to abide in one place, yet to continue on. It abides in one place, but there's a movement of it. It didn't freeze. Like, God didn't blow from his nostrils and the whole river froze. The water began to stand still in a dynamic, and it began to rise up. The level increased. It was in a stationary spot, but it was moving. Do you have that in your mind's eye? It's like a rain gutter going by, and you take a big plexiglass sheet, and you stick it in the gutter water, and it begins to swell up, and you're standing on one side watching the water go up. It's in one stationary spot as it moves upward. Now, in the English, this is confusing. It sounds like God did this at a dam. That's pretty funny. A dam. At Adam, the city. What the Hebrew says is that God did this right near the children of Israel, and the water rose up to a point where Adam is at. The water was still coming in from the north, but God stopped it so that it wouldn't go any further. And the water began to rise up, and as the floodwaters rose up, it rose up all the way to the point, backing up to Adam. That's a long way. That's a lot of water. It's possible that it took the children of Israel either a half a day or a whole day to cross over 2.5 million people through that location that God had provided. And then the word heap. The word heap here means to pile up as a mound. It means to pile up as a wall or a wave to stop advancing. But I love this. In verse 16, so the Bible says there, so the waters that went down into the sea of, or the Dead Sea, we can say, Arabah or the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, failed. No more water went into the Dead Sea. Stopped. Where the children of Israel, where the priest's feet went in, somewhere not too far away, within their vision, I'm certain, this wall began to rise up all the way back to Adam, and downstream or downriver, the water completely ceased to flow into the Dead Sea, which, by the way, is just south of Jericho. By the way, the Dead Sea is also known as the Sea of Lot. The Old Testament refers to it in antiquity as the Sea of Lot. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah was just south of the Dead Sea, as they have found in recent archaeological excavations. And so it says, so the waters went down from the Salt Sea, were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. I love this. John 15, verse 5, God says, I am the vine. Jesus is speaking, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Here's this incredible, impossible situation. God stops the water and the children of Israel cross over just opposite Jericho, the great fortified fortress. God puts them right in the middle of the great floodwaters at flood season, just opposite the greatest obstacle of Canaan land, Jericho. And they're going to bear fruit because they believe in God. When God is allowed in our lives by faith to do great things, and we're expecting Him to do it, and we're trusting in Him to do it, the result is that will bear much fruit. By the way, the water symbolizes a form of judgment because there's a lot going to be changing now that they're crossing over. No more manna coming down out of the sky from this point on. No more pillar of fire at night. No more cloud to cover them by day. God will dwell between the cherubim on the ark. And a lot of changes. But the water symbolizes judgment. And these believers passed through and came out on the other side. And God expected them to walk in a brand new walk. Many scholars believe that at this point, and I agree with them, that these particular children had not yet been circumcised. So their faith and their deliverance is not based upon their works. They simply passed through the opportunity that God had provided, and this water being a type of judgment, a type of death to sin, came out on the other side by no workings of their own, but simply obeying what God had done. And they stood in a place, by the way, where they could never stand before. Look at the third point, verse 17. Taking the step of faith, God's leaders, I would say here, are called to stand by faith. By the way, so are all of His people. It says in verse 17, "Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan." This is great. The word "midst of the Jordan" doesn't mean exactly in the middle. The word "midst of the Jordan" means the deepest part. God had the priest stop as the water began to part, their feet go into the water and they get wet to the ankle. The water begins to part, and instantly they're walking on dry ground and they go down into the riverbed, which at its deepest point is 15 feet deep.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at verses 13 and 14 of Joshua chapter 3, we call this lesson Taking a Step of Faith. It's a valuable lesson in how trusting our Creator is an art and a skill that we learn while we grow and experience the sanctification process. Taking a step of faith, it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this incredible historical narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack is right here to tell us about an East Coast event that's called BridgeFest 2012. What's BridgeFest?
Well, for the last several years, we've been involved in BridgeFest. It's been going on for quite a few years, actually. BridgeFest is the East Coast, the Northeast Coast of America, in the New York, New Jersey area. It's the biggest Christian outdoor thing going on. It's awesome. It's a vision of Lloyd Pooley, pastor of Calvary Chapel Old Bridge.
Oh, I like that guy.
Absolutely. It's just blossomed.
I like that guy.
And it's been a great event, and I'm very excited to invite the listeners throughout the tri-state area to come on out on Friday, June 29th and Saturday, June 30th to BridgeFest 2012. They can go online and check it out, but my goodness, Pancho Juarez is going to be there from here, right up the street in L.A. From us, and we're going to be having a tremendous time, and I've been honored to play a little role in providing the message, and it's going to be a great time. I was there last year. Lloyd and his team does a great job. BridgeFest 2012. June 29th and 30th. I'd love to see all of our tri-state listeners to come on out. And
I see
it's a super time.
I see a URL, www.bridgefest.org. Looks like Phil Wickham's going to be there, Josh Wilson, the museum, and of course, our very own Pastor Jack. Now, this is going to be a couple of days.
It's a great, great couple of days. And listen to this. Not only do we have a tremendous time of the Word of God being preached and all of that and chapel services, but it all ends with baptism on the beach there in the Jersey Shore. It is a spectacle to behold. It's great.
Again, that's www.bridgefest.org, or simply click the link from our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.